Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing voices to power. Grassroots mouthpiece. Sundays 5 to 7. The Child Support Hustle is real. You can catch the Child Support Hustle show Saturdays from 5 to 7 with co-hosts Drew D and Kenya R. The Child Support Hustle is real. Bringing voices to power. Catch me on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Let your voice be heard on HuntsvilleBlack.com. Don't miss the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, Tuesdays from 8 to 10, bringing voices to power. Bringing voices to power.
Okay, in this episode of the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, I have guest Jared Barton Arnold. Mr. Arnold is owner at Arnold Law Offices. Excuse me. He studied law at Birmingham School of Law and Political Science at Jacksonville State University. Me and Jared Barton Arnold will talk about the dysfunction of the Alabama Democratic Party, which is the result of the failed leadership of Alabama Democratic Party leader Joe Reed and his clueless cohort, Nancy Worley. Good morning, Mr. Arnold. How's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. Could you tell us what do you see as the biggest problem in the Alabama Democratic Party? And then right after that, I want you to tell me what is a problem that we could easily solve, because we need to start solving some of our inside problems.
Well, to me, and I do appreciate you having me on this morning, Mr. Eccles. To me, the problem. I mean, it all starts at the top, of course. With the lack of leadership at the top, it's almost as if, you know, there's no direction for the party, and the party doesn't know which way to go. And just from my viewings, you know, through social media and just my interactions, you know, with you know, people that do consider themselves Democrats, I kind of see two different perspectives. I see the ultra, you know, kind of there's a far left movement. It's not a very, I don't know how big the movement is. It may not be a very big movement, but there seems to be a far left movement here that wants to really, really push the party to the left. And then I see another
group. Hold up right there. Let me stop you right there. And just so I can interject here, I almost everything I do is in support of Democrats. But that's where I have a problem with them at. You know, there's nothing wrong. I like the energy of the far left. But one of our problems that I see is Democrats are always like, you got to accept everything they do. I mean, everything. You can't question nothing. You have to be on board with everything before I can work with you, before I can move up in the organization. And we need to stop that right now. Any Democrats listening, if somebody else is a Democrat, they don't have to agree with you on abortion. They don't have to agree with you on gay marriage. What you need to do is put the best leaders forward and love this and cherish this disagreement. We got a problem that if we don't agree with the top leaders 100%, you know, or whoever leading the local office, if we don't agree with them 100%, new people and younger people can't move up in the party. And that's why they're not coming. Go ahead. I agree with you on that. It's either, you know, they want you to take it all, or you're not going anywhere in the party.
Exactly. I mean, I agree 100%. And what I was trying to say was, you have to keep everything in perspective and realize where we are and what we're up against. You know, we live in a state where a Democrat has not won the state of Alabama, and the president has not won the presidency in Alabama since Carter in 76. I mean, we live in a very conservative state. Whether we like it or not, that's where we live. But what we have to do is we have to focus on the issues what I think we have to do is focus on the issues where conservatives can relate to the Democratic Party. I mean, you have a lot of people in this state who are pro-life or against a gay marriage or whatever, but you know what? A lot of those same people, they support increasing the minimum wage. They support child labor laws. They support the things that the Democratic Party has always supported, and you know, the New Deal politics, Social Security and Medicare. You know, who benefits from Social Security? Who benefits from Medicare? Working class people. Whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're gay, working class people have got to start sticking together.
Yeah, and we got to embrace each other, because we need other people's energy too. Just because I don't agree with you on a certain issue, that doesn't mean that we can't even talk at all. See, that goes back to what type of leader, not just what type of leader you are, but what type of person are you. And that's the problem we got with Alabama Democratic leadership. Joe Reed has a poor understanding of people. When you can't understand somebody, where they're coming from, and you got a problem. You can understand where they're coming from without agreeing with it, but people like Joe Reed, Nancy Worley, and there's a few others out there that's at leadership key positions, if you don't agree with them and come their way, it's just not going anywhere. And we're losing a lot of faithful people and a lot of hard workers out there. There's nothing exciting right now in the Alabama Democratic Party that would encourage a millennial to come in and get involved. Because when you go sit up at some of these meetings, you see a bunch of, you know, I'm trying, no disrespect on age, but you see a bunch of old people that's been there forever. They ain't moving. They don't want to hear your new ideas. There's a generation gap, not just with the culture in the Democratic Party, but there's a generational gap in the politics of the party. They need to understand these young millennials and the people that's 50 and down, and they just don't do that. You know, like I said, he has a poor understanding of people. He just cannot understand people, and he won't take a risk. That's another a sign of a leader that's in trouble. He won't take a risk. You got to take a risk to give some of these younger people a chance. Give them
he won't take a risk, and I would add this too. The Republicans have given the Democrats plenty for them to go after,
yes,
and we don't do anything about it. We are sitting here. We have a Chief Justice, our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who I believe with all my heart will be the Republican nominee for governor in 2018, Roy Moore. He has been thrown out of office. We have the Speaker of the House who has been indicted, and we have a governor who has most likely used taxpayers' money to fund an affair. And we sit on our hands and do nothing.
Well, they messed up from the very beginning. I mean, think about Don Sigmund. He was a champion among Democrats. He was a threat nationally. They was worried about him running for president. Here's a Democrat that can win in the deep South and turn out the vote. They turned out for Sigmund. If you notice, look at the Democratic Party, compare Sigmund's exit through all that corruption that they did to him. And then you'll start to see where your voting rolls started to fall off. The excitement was gone. But what happened when they came after Sigmund? Democrats took their tail, turned parties, and they ran. Sigmund should have been a rallying cry for organization the whole time he has been in there. I mean, he achieved every high office in this state. He did something nobody has ever done before. And as soon as they come after him with these phony charges, now all of a sudden – they took tail and run. And during this whole time that you just mentioned, all that corruption we see in Montgomery, tell me how many times have you seen Joe and Nancy out there pounding the concrete and trying to rally the troops to get these corrupt people out? They haven't done it because they're the biggest dinos in Alabama. They're just Democrats in name only, judging by their work and judging by,
yes,
by their actions. You know, they have destroyed the party. They have divided it. They have bankrupted it, and they have on their way to destroying it. So, you're right. He's not going to take a chance because he's a little man that's insecure and defensive, you know, and he just needs to get out of the way, you know.
And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know where we go from, you know, and I have talked at length with, you know, our local, you know, I'm from St. Clair County. My law office is in Pell City. We have a Democratic Party here. You know, we don't have a whole lot of numbers, but we're active. The people that go and they do a good job. And our local leader here, Herb Kuntz, and his wife Sherry, they do a great job for us. I have talked to Herb, you know, for a while, and you know, we just don't know what, you know, what do we need to do to get the leadership changed. I don't know if there's anything we can do.
Well, a lot of one thing that they saw at this latest Democratic executive meeting, I think they filled some open slots, and I'm hearing that there's a lot of slots out there open. We need to get like-minded people who want to change this leadership into those slots that are open, and get some people in some, you know, clear positions where we can mount a resistance, because appealing to these two to do the right thing, they're not going to do the right thing, because the right thing is not their mission. You can't tell me that these two love what's going on, how this party's all – they can keep the party infighting. That will keep us blind to their leadership. We need to stop the infighting, come together, and just look at nothing else but these two's leadership. You know, like I said, where the numbers went down and all this, there's a trend of the Alabama Democratic Party going down, although I can't imagine how much further down they could go, you know, losing all the major races,
right,
not putting forth,
sure,
a lot of candidates. And what pissed me off in the last election is I look on there and Democrats put up nobody. So I wrote my own name in. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. And,
right,
and like you said about Joe Reed, I tell you where we could go, and I might be kind of far-fetched, but, you know, it's hard to get them out. But like you said, where do we go after this? I don't think anybody in Joe Reed's inner circle should ascend to any type of leadership position. That whole that whole stain needs to be wiped out. I mean, we don't need any of that, because if they're not the ones telling him now, they should know the trends. They should see the trends. They should see the division. They should see the dang bank account. And what they should do is convince him that, Joe, step aside and let a next generation, somebody with stronger legs, you did your job that you've done. He's done a lot of good things, you know, in the civil rights movement and things like that. But that was for that time. Joe Reed is not the person for this time. He needs to just do the right thing and just get out. Stop being selfish. Stop stagnating and holding the party back, because, Joe Reed, you are the reason millennials are not getting involved. There's nothing excitement about a party dictator, you know. And where we go after this, like I said, I don't want to see any of his inner circle in a leadership position, because it'll go the same way. We need somebody, you know what? That office might be, even though Don Sigmund was governor at one time, that office might be a step down for him. But Don Sigmund is somebody that could ignite the party.
Well, would that not be something? Would that be exciting, wouldn't it?
Listen, think about how strong his supporters, his core supporters, and there was a lot who stayed with him all these years. Anything he wants to do, he got the grassroots behind him. Back to my other first question is, what is something simple you think that could happen, that we can happen now, you know, even without those two knuckleheads at the top? Maybe something, like I said, try to get some of all these slots that's open, try to get them filled by like-minded people like us that want to see some change. Because I think once they get Joe and Nancy out, that's going to be a kickstarter to a party revival, because people are just ready for something fresh. Something to change. These two are they're way out of ideas. It's over for them. This is just a comic show from what I'm seeing, and the Democratic Party better just go on and bear it and do it. I don't know why they're waiting. I don't know why these members ain't coming together, putting together a petition, asking them to step down, causing a ruckus. If we can go and march against Trump's ass, we need to be marching outside of Joe Reed's office. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the problem right now, you know, I read an article about this. It was published a while back by, I think it was, his name was Kyle Whitmire. He wrote an editorial talking about how, you know, Joe Reed pretty much controls the executive committee and kind of just, you know, runs everything with an iron fist down there. If we could make some changes there, I think that would definitely help. Something else that I think would help too is we really need to. I think we need to rally the local Democratic parties, the county parties,
yes,
and try to get them,
yes,
get everybody unite together, and we might can make some changes, you know, through unity through the local county parties. I'll tell you someone else, you know, you mentioned Don Sigmund, man, that would be awesome if that could happen.
That would set the party on fire, and I guarantee you that these millennials, these Democratic millennials, and a lot of people, poor people and middle working class people, I guarantee you they would come out. I mean, he's got a plaque over there at Calhoun Community College in Decatur. He brought a lot of manufacturing jobs to the area.
Oh, he sure did. He sure did. And I'll tell you
someone else that I would like to see
that I think would make a good leader in the party that I would like to see rise up is Richard Mauck, who is he's the chairman of the Jefferson County Democratic Party, and he has done an unbelievable job with them. Richard was one of my law school professors at Birmingham School of Law. He was the bankruptcy clerk for the bankruptcy court in Birmingham and for a while, and he used to teach classes at Birmingham School of Law, taught me bankruptcy, which is what I do. And he is over the Jefferson County Democratic Party, and he has done a fantastic job with them. And I would like to see,
what's his name again, so we can keep his name out there and people can be on the lookout and support this guy. You know, check him out. If it's what you think it is, then get behind this guy. We got to start supporting the people like you just mentioned, because. And another thing I talked about is money is not getting to the grassroots. The people that's
right.
going to live down the street from these people to knock on doors, to get them registered, money needs to get there. If money's not getting
sure
to the grassroots, then you're not doing anything. A lot of
it
money
sure
that you're using to go go to these dang banquets and these little retreats where you ain't talking about nothing, Nancy and Joe. That money could do a whole lot of service down the street here in the grassroots. But see, they have no concept of the grassroots. They can't
right,
see,
or at least,
they
or at least
you know,
put some
little,
of that money towards some candidates. You know,
yeah, now,
put
now,
some
this,
of that money towards some candidates.
Name?
His name is Richard Mock. He's the chairman of the Jefferson County Democratic Party. Great guy. You know, I haven't actually talked to him about whether he would have any interest, but I imagine he might.
Tell him if he wants to come on this show to talk about his interest, he's welcome to do that too.
Well, I would definitely pass that along to him, but he's a great guy, and I think, you know, we need someone like that would be a great improvement over what we have.
Exactly. Hey, I'll tell you what, another person that's talked to, they're retired now, but if you want to talk to about somebody that really knows the landscape and do this and this, Lowell Barron. I had him on my show a few times. I loved having Lowell on because he's shooting to you straight. And we got to start this organizing at the local level, just like you said. You and him are in agreement with that. You got to start at the local level. You got to start winning these school boards, these councilman jobs, and these county commission jobs, and change the party from the bottom up, because we can't change it right now from the top down, because we see what we got at the top. We got old Nancy and his cohort, Nancy Worley. So they're not going to build. They're destroying right now. They're not in the build
mode.
They
sure
are. They're in a destroy and defensive mode, you know, so they're not going to make anything happen. So we need to start building at the bottom up, supporting guys like
sure.
you just mentioned.
And I'll tell you another group.
To win in higher office.
I'll tell you another group that has been screwed left and right by the Republicans is our public employees. I think that is if the Democrats could rally, and I've said this for a long time, if the Democrats could rally the school employees and the school teachers and public employees and state employees, I mean, that could be a huge voting block for the Democrats right there, because everything the Republicans have done
right.
has hurt them.
And look at it. And this is what happened. It goes back to Don Siegelman, a champion of education, who tried to get the lottery for education. Okay? Look at that. As soon as they railroaded Siegelman, they come right back around, and what was their next move? They weakened the AEA.
They sure did.
They have been weakened financially, you know, when it came to paying dues, they attacked that first. They weakened them financially, and then now they're you know, getting money from it. They've been getting money out of it that it had built up all this time. So I see the AEA as kind of a bit demoralized too, just, you know, to a certain extent. You know, it's like throw your hands up. But like I said, all this stuff, if we realize it here in Alabama, all this stuff centers around Siegelman and that race and that crooked indictment.
It does.
It centers around that. You know, he was a threat nationally. That's why you had people all coming all the way from the United States Justice Department into Alabama to stop this man. Because if Siegelman could have turned the page, I mean, Democrats would control this state for a very long time. But I just hope.
And I can remember that election when it happened, when Siegelman ran for re-election and when Bob Riley beat him. If you remember, I believe that was the first election I had ever voted in, and I can just remember, you know, my family were all Siegelman supporters. As a matter of fact, you know, my dad, he knows Don Siegelman personally, and we all supported Don. And they announced Don as the winner at first, and then went back. And you know, I can't remember
and
the details
those,
of it, but
all those
there
votes,
were a bunch 6, of votes that mysteriously
votes.
Disappeared.
Six thousand votes. They didn't mysteriously disappear. You know, we know where they went to. We just need to, you know, because overnight the 6,000 votes transferred from Bob Riley to Don Siegelman to Riley's corner. So that's where they went. You know, they went from Sigmund to Riley, and that's got a whole lot to do with what's going on. Because
wasn't it Baldwin County, or was it Mobile County?
Yeah,
one of those.
It was Baldwin County, and then you had the judge Richard Pryor, the same one that Trump had in consideration for Supreme Court. You know, he ordered that the ballots be sealed and could nobody recount them. If you recounted them, you could have been put in jail. I mean, that just lets you know. We know some shenanigans went on there, and we also know that Sigmund, if he's ever to get back into the political thing, you know, legally without, you know, some of the still vestiges of the evil that put him there in the first place, if he's ever to get out from under that and gets back and decides to get back involved with the Alabama Democratic Party, that will be a revival like you had never seen. It would create so much excitement that they haven't had in a long time. And what the Alabama Democratic Party needs right now, they have no excitement. I mean, they abandoned their champion when he got, you know, railroaded. And a lot of them at the top didn't fight. There was a few. I know Terry Sewell was saying some things through the black back channels, but I never did hear anything from Joe Reed. Look at all the people, like you said, we got all the stuff going on with the governor. I haven't heard anything so far, unless I'm not getting the right newspapers, that Joe Reed or Nancy Worley has said about the governor and his affair.
I haven't heard anything from any of them.
No, he's not going to stick. You know, their job is not to build up the party. That's what I'm saying. Just like you have Flynn, seems like he's turning out to be a traitor. We need to start looking at Joe Reed and Nancy Worley the same way. They're acting like traitors. They're not acting like somebody that wants this party to grow, wants this party to win. Do you think that Joe Reed and Nancy Worley is acting like winners? And anybody out there listening, you can call me. We'll bring you on the show. Show me where Joe Reed and Nancy Worley are acting like they want the Alabama Democratic Party to be winners. Because if they wanted to be winners, the first thing they would do would step their behind down as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So the party can move on. I mean, they should know when it's over. That's one of the main problems we got. Some of our leaders don't know when it's over.
They just can't. They can't leave that power. It's the power, man. They just can't.
Yeah.
They refuse to give up that power. And you know, we have had some. You know, there have been a lot of people in the party that have called on them to resign. I mean, I know Vivian Davis Figures. She's been very vocal about it. Craig Ford, who is a House Minority Leader, he's called on them to resign. Greg Ford said they're the Republicans' best, they helped the Republican Party better than the Republicans do, you know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, so.
And I know that the last person that ran for Democratic governor, I know Parker Griffin, he's called, and myself and a lot of grassroots workers, a lot of people have called, but like I said, he runs that. That little group, maybe we need to start boycotting those groups and start writing them letters. We need to start a letter campaign to all those people in leadership positions, the ones that he got in there controlling that group, and start asking them, why don't they do their job? Why don't they – somebody needs to compile the timeline and compile, like I was telling you, how the votes, the turnout has went down, and just the overall health of the party.
Sure.
Look at how many seats have been left open, how many elections have we had that we didn't put anybody up. Somebody needs to put that on the line all in one letter and then ask that person, vote Joe Reed out. Let's go a different direction. This is not a winning strategy.
Do you know some of the names of the ones that they have in their pocket that won't do anything? Because I don't know who does what. I don't know anything about anybody's pockets,
but I know about it. He's smart. He probably got a lot of people that agrees with his agenda, you know, to be in those positions. He tries to control these key positions. That's why I said we need to take them back. We can take them back by calling these people out that are in these leadership positions, that are in his pockets, that if you don't do your job, considering all this evidence of low voter turnout, excitement, division, party bankruptcy. If we do that, what we can do is put pressure on them to act. And if they don't act, the next time there's an election, find somebody under them. The next time there's an election and one of those people want to run, we all need to support them. We need to start changing these leaderships of these little outposts of Joe Reed and Nancy Worley, because I only see their positions as really positions. They are enemy outposts because they haven't done shit for the party.
Yeah,
so if they're not willing to call him to account.
You know, you mentioned voter turnout.
Get the closest person to him. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you mentioned the low voter turnout. I wanted to ask you this, as an African American, you can speak to this better than I can. But it seems like to me that a lot of the African Americans in this state, it seems like a lot of them have just kind of given up hope. You know, it's like
up
you know.
Hope. Yeah, I can tell you exactly why they're giving up hope. There's mm-hmm. no place, and I heard this from two or three. Run for no office and going licking Joe Reed's bootstraps. That's why I said he's mm-hmm. trying to dictate every local office. That's he's on a game plan really like Trump. That's why in a Facebook post I put on there, the only difference between Trump and Reed is melanin. That's all I see, because Reed is trying to control every little office. And see, young people see that. If you're not coming in kissing the ADCs behind,
mm-hmm.
they're going to go for the other person. The ADC is not going to support anybody who does not fall in line with what Joe Reed wants. You see
exactly.
that in Madison County, up around Huntsville, and other places. If you're not going along with the Joe Reed's agenda, then you're not going to get his support. They'll put up a candidate that's flawed to your needs just so you won't get it because you didn't kiss his behind. And see, we're not getting people excited. Who wants to run for office if that's what you got to do? That's why you see a lot of empty slots. Because
mm-hmm.
there are some brave people out there that's like, no, I don't agree with Joe Reed. Or they know they disagree with Joe Reed and they wouldn't have a chance because he would be against them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So they just throw their hands up.
Sad.
He's not welcoming any new, fresh people to the leadership role. Got to give these young people.
Oh, I agree.
Take on
I
some
agree,
of their
100%.
New ideas. Yeah, Joe Reed and Nancy Worley just acting like the old people sitting up on the porch, you know, being mad about the culture, the new culture walking by.
Because we have to energize people. I mean, we have to get the African American vote back out and let the black folks know that, hey, you know, we're gonna fight for you. You know, we're here for you. We're not gonna neglect you. We have to let these working class people know that, you know, okay. You know, I understand you're against abortion, but you know what? You're getting the Republicans are killing you economically. They do not support anything that you stand for. That they want. I'm going to tell you something. Don't be shocked if things keep going like they're going. Don't be shocked if Social Security and Medicare are not gone within a few years. I mean, it would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, this is exactly what we need that we don't have. Like I said, all this money going to conventions and retreats, talking the same old crap, tired, worn-out crap that ain't going to help no party, some of that money could be used to hold local seminars about what you just said, to tell African-Americans that this is deeper than your whole future, not just you, but the future of all people, but particularly African-Americans. It's on the line. It's on
mm-hmm.
the line. There's nobody pushing a message like, everything is on the line. There's nobody out there conveying that message in their terms, in their world, in their culture, in their time period, that this is it. And see, we don't have anybody out there stimulating because people that want to be leaders, they look at the top, you know. They look at the top and they get the
experience. That's right.
Because Joe Reed, whether he knows it or not, the African American grassroots knows all about it. That's why they're not turning out to vote, because of Joe Reed. If Joe Reed
he just doesn't care
that the party will surge. Yeah,
I just don't think he cares
about that title and position.
That's what it's all about with him. It's all about the power.
It's selfishness. It's selfishness. Not to want to get out of the way and let the next generation take shape. You know, not to want to get out and let them come forth. You know, that takes amount of arrogance. He's a narcissist. I've said this before. Only a narcissist, sociopath, would just ignore what's right there in front of his face. He should see. When he got the Democratic Party, it was in good shape. Look at it now. You know?
It all started, I believe the way, you know, the way he came into power, you know, was through the, I don't know, my dad's told me how it all happened, but I believe he was, when the schools integrated, he was over what was the black school equivalent of the AEA, and Paul Hubbard was over, you know, the white school AEA, and they kind of came together and joined up, and they became a pretty powerful entity down there in Montgomery for decades, and then it's like they just, you know, gradually AEA lost, you know, with the Don Siegelman thing, and after all that, AEA kind of just lost power, and Paul Hubbard got sick and died, and see
Joe Reed living stuck in the past. And this is another thing, too, that I push and a lot of my friends, we talk about in the grassroots. Now, there's been some stuff said back and forth about Joe Reed and reverse racism. Now, I've listened to some of his stuff and some of the stuff that he said, and I'm African-American. It looks that way. What pisses me off is people like Joe Reed, and we got a few more around this state, that we got to clean them out too as African-American political activists and grassroots. We got some of them that will use the race card to get votes, and in Joe Reed's case, to stay in power.
Sure.
You see?
Sure.
And so we got to learn to recognize that and not be afraid to call it out. Because I had to tell somebody that they was talking about a Parker Griffith post, and somebody came on there and was like, I never heard you call anybody white or racist. You know, why are you calling Joe Reed a racist? And I was like, if it's the truth, who cares what color it came from? I like the truth.
Right.
I don't care what color it came from. And
sure,
so
yeah.
We have,
I mean,
that mentality, too, we have to get rid of, because if we're not, just because we're not brave enough to say a truth doesn't mean somebody else should be afraid to say a truth either. Truth is truth, and truth would triumph anything. You can't be.
Oh, absolutely.
Truth, so.
And if some of these people are not, you know, like, you know, if Joe Reed has, if he controls, you know, people in the party, I mean, it's got to be called out, and you know, if you don't call it out, I mean, nothing will ever change. Right.
Yeah, it's going to continue, and we know that it's in bad shape. We're in bad shape. I mean, if we could get Joe Reed, Nancy Worley out, and we get Dunn free, where he can communicate and talk with the press, and he can go, you know, around the state without an ankle bracelet, I think that would rally the party.
I think it would,
too. The moment that Don Siegelman is completely free, you're going to see a change. Because I know he cares about this state. He's going to do something to help people. And it's going to be motivating.
I think it would be great if Don would come out. And he may do this. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's possible. But I'm hoping that whoever the Democrats nominate in 18 for governor, I wish Don would go out and campaign with him and get behind him. I mean, I think that would be huge.
I'm pretty sure he would. He's not going to be silent on who he supports. I'm pretty sure of that. So, and the person, whoever does, they better welcome that with open arms. As a matter of fact, they should all be seeking it right now.
They better.
But just let him. Yeah, just let him finish up his thing. He's got to do. They want to put a little hold on him. But when he's able to get back in the game, then maybe he can be a voice to get him.
Oh, for sure.
Reed and Worley out. You know, and I would join him on that. I would support him on that. And,
oh, I would too, 100%.
He would be a great person to speak out against that. I think if Don Siegelman rallied all his troops and his supporters and started putting pressure on them, I think that may be even too much for them to continue. You know, if he once Dunn's able to send that signal, I think that's going to be all she wrote for Joe and Nancy. But they should do the right thing, like I said before on the previous show. I mean, everything that Reed done during the segregation and school issues and things like that, that was very good. But the way he is acting now, he is on the verge. He's at the tipping point of destroying everything he's ever done. When it's all said and done, nobody's going to remember the good that Joe Reed and Nancy Worley did do in the past. The only thing they can, once we get them, run them out of there, because we had a point where we're sick of them. When we run them out of there, their legacy is going to be garbage. Nobody's going to remember anything good they've done. They're only going to remember what it took to get you out and how you destroyed the party. Because look at the
numbers. They've done it to themselves.
And any supporters out there can come on this show and let's talk about the numbers. Let's talk about registered voters, voter turnout. Let's talk about money getting to the grassroots, people that's going to be knocking on doors. And let's talk about all these senseless and useless retreats where you sit around together and do nothing but talk about who your enemies are and make plans. You've seen Joe Reed and Nancy seem pretty good at planning on how to attack their enemies and the people that don't support them.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be trying to plan and see how they can grow the party. But see, they both have become corrupted, outdated, and just bitter. They're bitter, so
right. They're
going to hold on to the end. So maybe with Don Sigelman, when he's able to come out in full force from under what they got him under, maybe he'll give the signal, and that'll start the avalanche that finally brings them out of leadership position. But I just can't get over why a man would risk his whole legacy acting the way he is now, because nobody's going to remember their legacy. I just about done forgot it myself. I don't even want to talk about it. He's done so much damage to the Democratic Party. Don't tell me nothing Joe Reed has done for black people. I don't want to hear it. Because maybe he need to be that person he was in the past, doing something for him. But right now he's not doing it, so I don't want to hear anything good he has done in the past. And that's what I get confronted with as a grassroots mouthpiece. I talk about how he needs to go. The facts are there. Well, nobody come on and dispute my facts. Then why are we holding on to this guy? If we know the party is been torn up with losing voters, people not excited. If we know all these things to be true and can point them out statistically, what is he still doing there? I mean, the stats don't tell a lie. So why are we keeping this guy? He should have been fired a long time ago, according to his own performance.
It's sad. It's sad. It really is.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on 18, Marcus? What are on the governor's race? What are your thoughts on it?
Ooh, wow, we'd have to do a whole other show about that. But in short, for Sue Bell Cobb, I would say no, because she jumped out there and threw her support behind Jeff Sessions when he really didn't need it. He didn't need her support to make it. He was going to make it anyway. And he had enough people in Alabama support him, so why did she have to throw that in there right before she was supposed to come to Madison, Alabama, during Black History Month, and you coming in there, no wonder she canceled. She needed to cancel her whole running the whole race. Oh, and when it comes to Craig Ford, I don't know, really. You know, I've heard some good things out of him, but I still haven't heard him say anything about the cannabis issue. I think he has said something favorable about it once, you know, because we're trying to do some decriminalization and use of the fibers from the hemp plant. But that's another story. I've heard he has dissension in his own backyard. He's got people in Etowah County that's not thrilled about him, so... And they're very vocal and very strong in the grassroots, so I don't think that would put him in trouble with getting some African-American votes. And it comes to Parker Griffin, I probably could support Parker Griffin because I've worked with him closely. And the main thing is you don't have to agree with somebody totally, but I know one thing, and I've seen for myself, he cares about the poor and he cares about education. And fixing those two things could go a long way down the road for everything, you know, education and trying to get the poor people out of poverty. So he looks good, but I don't think everybody else has
Well, Parker's always been a supporter of education, and Craig Ford
always.
Has too. I mean, I think the past 6 years, Craig Ford has tried to he has fought hard for a lottery, and he can't get it.
For whatever reason, he
cannot get it on the ballot. The Republicans don't even want the people to vote on it for whatever reason, and he can't get you know, lotteries, casinos, whatever. I mean, you know, put it up, let the people vote on it, you know. But
yeah, let them vote.
Voices to
hey,
power.
That music cueing that we got is about a minute left or so. But yeah, those were two. I would have to hear more about Ford, because, like I said, I heard some rumors.